What up, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of Fightful's Wrestling Roundtable. I'm your host, Shaquille Matjoui from CBS Sports, but today I am Team Fightful all the way. More importantly than that, though, I'm here every week. You get bored of me, you come for the panelists, the experts, the people who make me look smart, who make me look good. And who do we got today? The best of the best. First, he is the mind behind Wrestling Inc., Raj Geary. How's it going, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. You know, straight off Mexico, tanned, burnt, a little sleepy, a little jet lagged. We're ready to do this. Although I got to figure something out. If I start every stream by reminding everyone how tired I am, maybe I got like an iron deficiency or something. next we have, you've heard her, all the major pro wrestling spots. Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Busted Open Radio, Candace Cordelia, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and don't forget about Broadway World if you got to get your theatrical fix. And can't forget, my brother from another mother, affiliate websites, comicbook.com's Connor Casey, interviewing all the big names, AEW, WWE, and abroad. How's it going, bro?
Going on, Shaq. This is a low-key CBS takeover right here.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't think you told Sean about this.
No, I can see his analytics. Sorry, I got some things in store for Sean. Now, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time watching, please, and if you followed one of these great people over here, please thumbs up, subscribe, tap the notification bell. We will have a Q&A portion at the end, super chats only. So if you'd like to leave your super chats, please do, and we will get to them on the tail end of the show. Now, very quickly, gotta do this, gotta get this out of the way. This stuff only happens because of Fightful's great sponsors. Shout out to NordVPN. This show is brought to you by NordVPN.com/Fightful, the world's fastest VPN, now providing threat protection against online trackers, annoying pop-up ads, and malware. Change your virtual location with just one click with NordVPN and get an additional month free as well as a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's NordVPN.com/Fightful. And fun fact, total coincidence, I got hooked up with NordVPN like a week before my vacation because you can't gamble. You can't gamble from out of country, and I wouldn't recommend it, but I follow some very smart people with some very good picks. So make sure you get your VPN, get your betting sites right, watch those Netflix programs that you can't watch from home. We know how Fightful viewers are. Maybe you're trying to get the naughty naughty down and you don't want people tracking what you're doing. NordVPN has got you covered. All right, everyone, let's get started. Without further ado, topic number one. I gotta say, as a fan of competition, as a fan of things shifting in the pro wrestling landscape, to see WWE get their first AEW acquisition in Cody Rhodes is just amazing. Not only was it a major scoop, there's so much to dive into in terms of sort of what that means for the pro wrestling industry. Now that we're sort of, you know, still in the honeymoon phase of Cody Rhodes' WWE return, but, you know, a week plus into the process, how are we feeling? It's a small sample size to go off of, but based on the Raw after WrestleMania, his match with The Miz, the rematch coming up with Seth Rollins, what are your early indications for how Cody Rhodes is going to fit into the WWE universe? We'll go to Raj first.
So far, I think it's been great. I feel like it's been a home run so far, but again, we're only 2 weeks in. We'll only really know, you know, in like 2 months where it's headed and how it's going. But, you know, so far I think they've been doing everything right. I like the way he was presented at WrestleMania. It was kind of cool how they kept it a surprise, didn't announce it ahead of time. And Cody, he's just different, you know, when he's doing the promo, and granted it was scripted where he's saying wrestlers and belts and Miz is correcting him. It just brings in this different dynamic. And, you know, when you look at Roman Reigns and realistically who can beat him and take the title, there aren't many people really on that list. And so Cody kind of shoots up to the top if they can keep him strong, keep booking him well. I don't know if they could go all the way to WrestleMania. SummerSlam is a little early this year. It's at the end of July. So, you know, maybe you do Cody and Roman at SummerSlam. Cody gets that big win, and then you have that program for the fall and, you know, maybe heading into next year's WrestleMania. But I think the sky's the limit just because they don't have many other guys in that position. I mean, Brock is in and out. So outside of that, it's just Cody right now.
Candace?
I like the way Raj thinks, because I am 100% on board with all roads, pun intended, leaning to Cody versus Roman. And I've had this debate recently with two other friends of mine. And one was on my side, the other was thinking, no, it can't. Why would you think Cody versus Roman? But honestly, I think that's where we're leading to. I'm loving what we're seeing so far. And I can tell that Cody is very comfortable. He is really liking the position that he's in now. And I feel like with more of the creative side, just seeing him grow and exert his creativity, the sky's the limit. And honestly, I love what we're seeing also with Cody versus The Miz. That was fantastic last night. And the rematch, I can't wait for the Cody versus Seth. So I'm absolutely loving this side of Cody and seeing him shine in this position.
Connor?
As far as this first week or so he's been with them, I was blown away that the presentation was virtually unchanged from what his time in AEW, him showing up at Mania, the full Homelander garb, the entrance song, the logo is the same. Like, they really have changed nothing about the presentation. And then when you look at how he's, you know, how he's wrestled on Raw, how he's cut promos on Raw, they're not shying away from the fact of where he was or what kind of star he turned into in those 6 years he was away. They kept all of that. And I think that's why, you know, it's pretty apparent he's being elevated to be the number two guy in the company right now behind Roman. Now, when we talk about things like what's the ceiling for him, it's hard to say when it's not entirely clear what WWE's plan is right now. Mm-hmm. By all indications, they don't really know what they're doing with the unified two titles. If they're being treated as two, if they're treated as one, if we're going to get rid of one of those belts soon. The brand split seems to be going away. It seems to be getting more and more deteriorated as the weeks go on. You could say, hey, Cody's, you know, your top guy on Raw, but we don't really know what that means right now. We don't know if that means, hey, he gets the next shot at Cody at SummerSlam, or if that's Drew, or if Brock for some reason comes back again. There's a lot of questions, but it's all positives on his side.
It'll be really interesting to see how Cody sort of capitalizes off this, because like you've all said, man, when Ricochet is sort of considered your number two guy on your strongest brand SmackDown, and that's no disrespect to Ricochet, it's a consequence of how he's been booked. It's troubling, but it leaves a lot of room for Cody Rhodes to do well. And, you know, talking to my colleague over at CBS Sports, Brent Brookhouse, in the lead up to WrestleMania, I was pretty staunch and like, you've built up Roman Reigns too much to have Brock Lesnar beat him. Brock Lesnar doesn't need that win. We need to take all these resources we put into Roman Reigns and elevate it someone. The natural sort of resistance to that as well, who is in any position to do that, could be Cody. Or is WWE willing to really strap the backpack to him, considering that he's coming over from AEW? I don't think they have much of a choice. If you're going to have someone beat Roman in the next 6 months, I think you all make a very strong case that who else is there if not Cody Rhodes? And I think it'd be very, very cool to see. All right, let's move on to topic number two. You know, I talked to Tony Khan late last year, and it's something he told a lot of media, Busted Open as well, how they're going to slow down. AEW is going to slow down on the talent acquisition in 2022. I don't know about you guys, but I don't feel like that has happened at all. And now we're talking about a whole other brand being introduced. That being said, some of those acquisitions, I think, were must-have acquisitions. When you guys look at the list of wrestlers that that AEW has signed in 2022, and I'll pull it up for those who may be missing one here or there. We're going to exclude Ring of Honor signings. But the ones that are officially all in, all elite, graphic and all, 2022, we got Brody King, Danhausen, Keith Lee, Shane Strickland, Buddy Matthews, Jeff Hardy, William Regal, Tony Storm, and Samoa Joe. Candace, we'll go to you first. Who do you think of those signings in 2022 is the best thing that Tony Khan has signed, the person who can take it the farthest, or at least has the most to offer to the promotion in the long term?
That's so hard. And I was thinking back today, and it's only April, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, all of these signings happened in 2022. It's wild. There's promise in most, if not all of them. The first person that comes to mind for me is Toni Storm. I really, really am excited to see what she does in AEW. And I know she's one of the newest acquisitions, but we're leading into what looks potentially to be her versus Jamie Hayter. And I can't wait for that. I'm really rooting for that. I'm rooting for her. And Swerve is a fave of mine. He always has been. You know, I see a lot of potential in him as well. It, just when he comes out, his aura, the fans just love him, you know, and that's before he even makes it into the ring. He just has that presence and that it factor. Same thing with Toni Storm. So those two pop in my mind as folks to really keep an eye out for. And that's not to say, you know, with Keith Lee, I can't remember if that was someone you did mention. There's just so many signings. It's like, I'm trying to keep it all together. But yeah, Toni and Swerve, those are my top two for at this moment.
Okay, Connor.
So a couple honorable mentions, William Regal, just because the Blackpool Combat Club is
so
quickly becoming my favorite thing in wrestling, period. A couple of honorable mentions, Samoa Joe and Jeff Hardy. I know if this were a decade ago, those would easily be my top two picks, but both of them just kind of have the mileage and aren't looking to bring the same thing that they could have a decade ago. Joe is obviously splitting his attention between AEW and Ring of Honor, and Jeff has made it pretty clear he's sticking with the tag team. And also Toni Storm, she's so young. She hasn't even I don't feel like she's even begun to scratch her full potential yet. And when you see how much she's done already, that's pretty incredible. And also Swerve, because I feel like that's a guy that WWE didn't know what they had with him until Hit Row, and within the year he was gone, which I think is a shame. But my pick is Keith Lee. And Keith is, I think, really the first occasion where WWE let a guy go that you could have said, this is a WrestleMania main eventer. We haven't tapped into that potential yet. We let him go, and then AEW stops by and says, hey, we'll pick him up and take him from where you left off. Triple H clearly had every bit of confidence in this guy when they crowned him with both of their top singles titles. And then when they got into the main roster, there between the health issues and just, I think, a lack of understanding of what he brought to the table is why he floundered. And he is, in my mind, 1,000% a guy you can build a main event picture around. He is, you know, he's my number one pick for, hey, when are we going to have, you know, our first Black world champion in AEW? My pick is him. You know, I think back to his interactions with guys like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and the reaction that it drew from fans. And there are so few people that can get that kind of reaction now. And he is absolutely one of those people that can do it. I don't see it. I don't see his push to the main event happening right away. I think they're doing a slow burn. And as Toni says, he's thought out that world title picture quite a ways in advance. But give it a couple years, and I think he's right there.
Is it just me? This is so unrelated. I'm so sorry. Is it just me, or is his like symphony thing always out of sync with the crowd chants?
Meh. What can you do?
Yeah, maybe.
maybe it's my completely legal means of watching AEW Dynamite that are throwing me off track. Raj, what we got from you here?
It's kind of, I mean, that is kind of a loaded question, because you got short term, kind of medium term, and then long term. I think short term, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, you can throw them in that main event mix right away. And it doesn't have to be against Hangman Page, but, you know, at that top of the card where they're, you know, drawing numbers to Dynamite, to the pay-per-views. I don't see legs with the Hardy boys. I think they need to hurry up, get that Young Bucks match and move on. Them wearing the old gear and everything, I don't know. It kind of feels like we're not going to be seeing that 6 months. I think Jeff Hardy, just with, you know, his superstar charisma and everything, short term, I think they can put him in that mix. He'd be good for numbers. He'd be good for ratings. He'd be good for pay-per-view buys. Now down the road, I think Swerve and Toni Storm in the women's division, Swerve with the men's. I think 5 years from now, he'll be, you know, one of the ones we'll be talking about. But short term, I think it's Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe. And and then medium term, kind of to Connor's point, I think Keith Lee. I don't see him necessarily in the main event mix anytime soon, but I think he will be. And whether that's next year or 2 years from now, I see him being in that mix. So a bunch of great signings. William Regal, you mentioned, the amount of knowledge he brings that he can impart upon the younger talent is just, that release always surprised me. You know, there are some that do and some that don't, and that, especially with the people that aren't appearing in front of the camera that often, and William Regal kind of shocked me.
I think to date, AEW's done a really good job of utilizing some of their veteran wrestlers, like you said, Raj, putting them in situations to bolster views, bring in fans, but also give the younger guys a good rub. One, shout out to the Blade, man. His face got smushed on that Swanton bomb. Can I just say, I think you're right. They're pushing that nostalgia act way too hard. It's like in your face every week, Hardy Boys theme song. At the very least, you got to get a run in. And two, do we need to see Jeff Hardy jumping off something every week? Like, I'm really worried for the guy's health at this point. It's just, it seems a little redundant and excessive.
I agree. I think you should save those big moments for the big matches or pay-per-view. I think doing it every week, it just loses more and more every time you see it. And the Hardy Boys nostalgia, it's cool short term, but it'll get old really fast. So I think hopefully they move on from that after Double or Nothing.
I'm going to go for my pick. Oh, sorry, Connor, did you want to chime in there? I saw your mouth.
I was just saying, I think they're aware of that. Like, Jeff has made no bones about it. Like, he's not going to do a singles run. Mm-hmm. And he and Matt have both said pretty publicly that this is our last go at it. So I think they're aware that their shelf life with this is limited.
I'm going to go with Samoa Joe for my pick, and it's twofold. I was tempted to pick William Regal. I think that might be my favorite personal signing, just for what he's proven to be able to do on the mic, as an authority figure, as a manager, behind the scenes for the guys. I think Samoa Joe is sort of like a younger version of William Regal in a sense. You've got someone who, to this point, injuries aside, can still go pretty damn well in the ring. I thought, you know, he showed a lot of intensity, a lot of skill, and man, underrated when it comes to presentation. Like, what an authentic, believable, badass Samoa Joe is from the jump. You can tell the crowd is into it. I think, I don't know how long his shelf life is, but I think for these next couple of years, he could really go. Like Raj said, you can throw him right into a main event scene and it's believable. Beyond that, I think between the commentary work and his role in NXT, he's proven to be someone that, say what you will about Triple H's politicking, rumors or otherwise, back in the day, every person I've talked to was part of that NXT brand, Killer Cross, Malakai Black, the list goes on, nothing but compliments for how giving Triple H was, how much he cared for the success of those talents and of that developmental brand. And if he is someone that, if Samoa Joe is someone that Triple H trusted in to have a role both backstage and in the ring, I have a really good feeling for what Samoa Joe is going to offer, not just now, but especially once he retires from in-ring competition. Alrighty, I'm trying to see where, you know what, we're moving pretty quickly, so I'm going to throw a little bonus question for you guys quickly. When AEW started, as many fresh promotions do, it feels like they can't do no wrong, right? Everything's exciting, everything is new. Now that they've got some reps under some belts, are you starting to see any sort of emerging patterns that are maybe, I don't want to say troubling, but things that maybe AEW needs to be aware of, some maybe repetitions that they're falling into? Thing, you know, we criticize WWE all the time for 50-50 matchmaking or sort of their hot and cold streak with stars, rebranding characters that already seem to have legs underneath them. What are some things you think AEW is doing right now that they maybe need to be careful of not making a habit out of? We'll go to Connor first.
It has to do with their pay-per-views. I feel like they're very good at building up specific episodes of Dynamite, but when it gets to those quarterly shows, it really seems like they have a couple of matches that they always had in mind, and then they get to the week of and realize, oh crap, we still need to fill this show. So a lot of stuff will very quickly in those last 2 weeks get added. And then it always seems like, why do we have 10 matches on this card? I get we only do this once, four times in a year, but the show always feels like it goes a little bit too long with one or two matches that could really be cut. The last three shows, I would say, have gotten away from this problem, but it's still one that just kind of lingers.
Raj?
That's kind of a tough one. You know, there's...
You shill.
I mean, I've had a couple, you know, I've had a couple of different criticisms of AEW over the years. One was when they would have so many people on the show that unless you watch Dark or Elevation, you have no idea who these guys are. But they've kind of gotten way better about that. You know, everyone was in a faction. There'd be factions all over the place. And I feel like they've gotten way better about that over the past year. Another thing I'd say is they're bringing, you know, they're creating new fans. And then sometimes just assuming all the fans are internet wrestling fans, and they know, you know, what the AAA title is, and they know who Danhausen is, you know, without really doing a video package or something to kind of explain who these guys are that are coming in, because you want to grow, you want to bring in new fans. You can't assume that they all know everything that the internet wrestling community does, in my opinion. So I think that's something that they kind of need to work on a little bit. And, you know, you bring in Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, Grant, everyone's going to know who those guys are, but it's, you know, the Brody Kings and some of the guys that, you know, like I mentioned, Danhausen, the ones that haven't been featured nationally as much, just kind of letting people know who they are, why they're important, why the AAA tag team titles are important. I feel like you start having so many belts on the TV, it makes your own belts feel, I wouldn't say less than, but it just kind of blends in. You're like, wait, which champs are they? Are they the ROH champs? Are they the AAA champs? Or, you know, it just gets a little muddled. So those would be some of mine.
Candace?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough question because, and I say this as someone who's watched AEW from the very beginning, I tend to think, okay, it's a 3-going-on-4-year-old company, and they arrived at a very precarious time in history. I mean, their second year going into things, the pandemic happened. So I could only imagine that there were a lot of plans that perhaps were in the motions that just couldn't happen because of the pandemic and simply being stationed in Jacksonville for quite some time. Having said that, I mean, one of the first things that pops in my head is writing. You know, speaking as someone who's not only an on-camera host, but a writer, I would like to see more of some sort of script. And that's just because coming into wrestling, that's what I saw. You know, one of the things that really, that I gravitated towards wrestling for was the reason of having these storylines. And that's not to say you can't have a storyline without a script, but you can certainly make things a bit tighter, make things have a bit more sense, especially for new fans coming in. I mean, imagine a casual fan turning on the station and wondering what's happening. I don't know what's going on. And that goes to Raj's point about having video packages as well. I think having a video package would certainly help for people who are not familiar with the independent wrestling scene and make people understand exactly who Danhausen is, who is Wheeler Yuta, why should we really care about certain feuds? Because there are fans that want to watch AEW, but I could understand them saying, I don't understand that. I don't know what's happening. And it's like watching a soap opera and coming in at the 200th episode and being like, what is this? Who is this? And why should I care? So I think those are the two things that really stand out. And then I'm going to say it also, the women's division. I want to see more women's matches. I'm not just saying this because I'm the only woman on the panel, but I want to see it. And a lot of people want to see it too. So more women's matches. I want to see all of those women shine and do more and have more of a platform. And sometimes just having one woman's match, whether it's main event or not, just isn't enough because the talent is there. So I'm here for it.
Love it. I'm going to nitpick on this one. I agree with Raj that I think the factions have been a very good way to get a lot of people FaceTime. They're throwing out a lot of run-ins here, post-match run-ins for me. It's getting a little excessive. It feels like every week now you can expect that Adam Cole and Red Dragon are going to run in on something, and then Jungle Express is going to come in, and there's going to be a brawl. Don't get me started on Andrade and Sting. I mean, if any combination of... If you see Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy or Darby or Blade or Butcher in the ring, you know it's going to devolve into like a 20-person brawl. So for me, that's getting a little cumbersome, and I understand why they're doing it, but there has to be a more creative approach to sort of getting these people FaceTime and moving. Can we also please just drop that story?
In their only defense for that, at least the run-ins aren't ending the matches right then and there. At least they're having the finish. I'll give them that.
Connor, you AEW... Everyone's getting one AEW shill by the end of this, myself.
I do want to add one more thing. Overhyping surprises. And, you know, the ROH announcement did not do as well as some of the past ones. And I just wonder if people just aren't buying the gravity of the hyped announcements. So that's...
I think you all really hit the nail on the head on. There does seem to... It feels like we live in a bubble of internet wrestling when it comes to AEW sometimes. And I think it's easy to get lost in that, even for myself, and I'm sure for some of the viewers. You're right that there are going to be fans coming in that are maybe more casual fans or relapse fans who you know, the ones at the shows are going to pop for Danhausen and are going to buy the merch. But is that translating for the overarching fan who maybe isn't in tune with what's happening on the regional scenes? Okay, I'm going to keep throwing these impromptu topics at you guys. Got to keep.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Everyone on their toes. I want to split it up a little bit between AEW and WWE stuff. I'd like to think I have a solid vocabulary, a at least rudimentary grasp on the English language, but man, the rated R superstar Edge is throwing out some big words week to week. And I know a lot of people were cold on his, what is it, the mountain of omnipotence?
Omnipotence.
Yeah. Situation that he's got going on. WrestleMania showed a really promising development with the addition of Damian Priest and the possibility of sort of a new Brood-esque stable. Really weird match on Monday Night Raw, and where, you know, Damian Priest just looked up to the gods or the demons or whatever. Room got as blue as my background and match was over. One, how much confidence do you have that they can turn around the stable? Because it went from floundering to possibly exciting, and it's just been a whirlwind. Part two, who do you think they should incorporate into the stable if they really want to make this pop off? We'll start with, can't remember who we start with last time, so let's go with Raj this time.
I thought that ending really sucked, by the way. It's like ever since The Undertaker left, they need to find someone that does magic, and they have to bring magic in somehow. They had Bray Wyatt and then Alexa Bliss, and now I hope they don't go the magic route with these guys, because I think it could be a really cool stable. Edge and Damian Priest, they look like $1 million together. Who else? I think Rhea Ripley. I think as soon as people said on Twitter who else should be on this, Rhea Ripley was probably the number one name that came up. She could really use a boost. I think her as a heel and possible matches with Bianca Belair or Sasha Banks, depending on how they do it. I mean, it could be really cool. So I hope they don't go too far with the magic, because that ending on Raw, it kind of killed it the first hour for me, because I thought this episode has been really good. And then they had Damian Priest doing the vampire thing in the middle of the ring, and then they came back and it's like, all right, we're moving on. So, but I think Rhea Ripley, I think this could be a really cool group. It seems like they don't have it figured out where they're going with it, but there's a ton of potential there.
Okay. Optimism. I love it. Candace?
I just thinking about that ending still, I'm cracking up because it was so abrupt and made no sense. And I'm thinking, okay, who is this appealing to? I know Twilight is on Netflix right now. I know it's a thing. Everyone's binging it. But it just made no sense. But it also was hilarious to me. I just couldn't stop laughing. Having said that, I agree with Raj. The only other person I could see in this stable is Rhea. And I also say that because I see that split happening between her and Liv. I know it's coming. It's unfortunate because I like them both as a tag team. But I'm starting to see the cracks. So if anyone's going to fill that third potential spot, it has to be Rhea Ripley. And it would be cool to have her in the mix and see what she does within said faction, which I think that would be really awesome. But I just don't want to see any more endings like the one we just said. And if they do end like that, at least explain it, do something else, explain it, give us some more. It was hilarious, but I'm thinking, no, we can, you know, chill on that and just do something else. But I'm a fan of the magic. I'm here for anything that's supernatural. That's my opinion. So if you're gonna do it, just go big or go home. So
Connor?
So I posited this on Twitter last night. I am perfectly fine if this just turns into a straight up The Brood, The Next Generation type thing. Like bring out a remix version of the Jim Johnston theme, bring up the fire and the pyro intro, have the bloodbath, like do it all. Bring all of the goofy vampire stuff back if you're going to do it. Because if you're going to do it half-assed, why bother? Go the whole way with it. And I feel like in this day and age, people are going to embrace it for the goofiness rather than shrug it off as, it's just vampires again. Like, no, they'll be like, no, we can get behind this. This could be fun. As for members, you know, the big rumor was Rhea Ripley. That seems to fit perfectly her aesthetic already, kind of where she's at right now in the card. She just kind of floundered after her Raw Women's title win and then the whole thing with Nikki A.S.H. My other pick is Tommaso Ciampa. Not only does he have a real life connection to Edge, they both bonded over their neck injuries, but he's also Canadian. So wait, no, he's not Canadian, but they fit. I thought he was Canadian. No, my bad, Shaq. Sorry to mistake it. But you also got to give him something to do on Raw. They just had him backstage being like, no, this is Ezekiel. It's up there with Chris Harris in terms of the great first impressions on WWE's main roster.
That's a disappointing.
I love him, man. And I would love to give him something to do. So let's go with him.
Okay, I think there's actually something kind of like you said, Connor. I think there's something fun to explore in the idea of Edge sort of coming up with the Brood, and now all these years later being sort of helming the Brood as the person in that group who took their career the farthest as a single superstar. This is probably because I really like Liv, and I think she may have named one of her baby cows in my honor. I never got the confirmation though, which is the sad part. I actually think, I know Liv's like really into the witch stuff. When have we seen, you know, typically when we see these super groups form, you kind of have the guy who's like the world title contender or the champion. You have, in this case, Damian Priest sort of being the US mid-tier title guy. Then you have a tag team. Why not keep Rhea and Liv together? And I think maybe a fun twist on this format would be to have them as the women's tag team champions as part of the stable, as opposed to the more traditional format of having two male tag team champions. But, you know, that's just me spitballing. You guys are the X. Sorry to rain on your parade, Candace. I know. And Connor. And Raj. Man, Liv Morgan stands up here with me.
I love Liv Morgan. I really do. Yeah. But I want to see Sasha and Naomi keep those titles for as long as possible. That's just me. Yeah.
I love the idea, but God bless them. They can't focus on more than one women's tag team at a given time. Like, that's the problem.
And none of the tag teams right now were a tag team 6 months ago. So, it's very makeshift, and they're going as they go along. The one thing, it's been a long time since we've had a new WWE stable on the main roster. So that's kind of cool to see. It's been a while. So probably since the Wyatts, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot Retribution. How could you forget such a momentous
match? What am I thinking?
Man, shout out to Ali and whatever, wherever he is right now, man. Fingers crossed for that guy. What a talent. All right, let's move on. Let's head back to AW. Kind of like the last question we asked. I got to say, this was entirely inspired by Wheeler Yuta. Let me stand up and be the first one to say, as someone who, you know, I watch Dynamite Weekly, usually catch Rampage, I watch SmackDown for work, and that's about the extent of it. You know, I'll turn in for the super cards here, Roh and JPW, but I'm probably a little bit more of a casual wrestling fan in this industry than most. I could not have cared less about Wheeler Yuta like 3 weeks ago. If you were to ask me, what do you think about Wheeler Yuta? I'm like, well, I know he's super solid in the ring. I know the indie fans love him, but the look is generic. The personality is generic. I don't know what to tell you. This storyline between Wheeler Yuta, sort of separating from the best friends. Liverpool, what is it? Blackpool Combat Club? This is the second coffee you need here. His matches with Bryan Danielson, Jon Moxley, the way that they've incrementally increased in excitement and in competitiveness, harkening all the way back to that, tying it into that first match where Jon Moxley just ran through Wheeler in a minute. I don't know if there's a wrestler on the AEW roster I care more about than Wheeler Yuta right now. They have absolutely nailed this storyline in a relatively short period of time. And I believe in Wheeler Yuta. So what I want to do is take a moment now. When we think about, and I'll let you guys define what a prospect is in AEW, but when we think about the developmental program, the star-making program of AEW, who do you think is its biggest benefactor? Who has AEW done the best job of taking from zero to hero? Because right now, I'd struggle to name anyone other than Wheeler Yuta. We'll start with Candace.
Wow.
Whoever has the name first. Yeah.
I'm so conflicted because I honestly had three that sprung right immediately to mind, and they weren't Wheeler Yuta, although I love him. I really appreciate him. His rise is phenomenal to see. But, you know, judging from watching it from the very first episode, and I might get some flack for my choices, but I have to say Jade is one of them. Wardlow is another. Who was my third person? Hook. Hook is in there. I say this because, okay, so for instance, for Hook, judging from when we first saw him to now, he had that silent type thing going on, and he still does. We have barely heard a word from him. We didn't know what he could do. We just saw him with Team Taz, and we just figured, okay, soon we're gonna see him work in the ring, and that'll be the major test. His fan base, I mean, and I'm definitely a part of his fan base, we've seen him from that point to this point, and it just gets more rabid as time goes on. He's wonderful. I can't think of a better way seeing, and that's also bringing Wheeler Yuta into mind, but honestly, I really can't think of a better way for this man's come up. It's just awesome to see, and it's only getting better, and the way that they're protecting him, I really like it, and I like what they're doing with him and Danhausen because it still adds to the mystery, and I like the fact that we barely heard anything about Hook. Now, with Jade, that's also amazing to me because she's risen in a fairly short amount of time. And I remember seeing her in the audience, you know, during the pandemic era of AEW, and people in the comment section, you know, for AEW Dark were wondering, who is this woman? I mean, she caught people's eyes from the very beginning. You know, there's been some bumps here and there, but she's a superstar. I mean, Vanessa Hudgens called her out in her Instagram story recently. Like, that's mainstream crossover, and very few people can do that. She definitely has an it factor, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. You know, she has the baddie section thing going on. She has this great rapport with Mark Sterling. It's just so cool to see. Her fashion sense is on point. Everything about her just screams superstar. And I think the way that she's building herself and getting, you know, that mentorship from Bryan Danielson, that's a coup in and of itself. My third option, Wardlow, I also say this because his storyline with MJF is really gripping to me. You know, seeing it from the beginning to what it is now. Yes, there have been some bumps with that storyline, but I really like how they're building him more into a monster because that's the only way to go with him. And now everyone can't wait to see what happens with him and MJF. Every time Dynamite comes on, everyone's saying, I can't wait for Wardlow to whoop MJF's butt. Like, I can't wait. Every week, we're just anticipating it. And when that payoff happens, it's going to be brilliant. It's really, I think the pop in that room or whichever stadium that happens in, it's going to be astronomical. So those are my top three. No shade to Wheeler Yuta, but those three, they just have it for me. Like, I can't wait to see where things go. And I think their growth and their build is really special.
Yeah, like serious Triple H Batista vibes with MJF and Wardlow, and I'm here for it all day. Connor, what do you got, my man?
So I don't remember who posted this, so I'm sorry, I can't give credit, but somebody posted a photo over the weekend of who they had crowned as the next four pillars of AEW. A lot was made, especially in the last year, about the original four being Jungle Boy, Darby, MJF, and Sammy, and rightfully so. They're all great, and I think 5 years from now, unless Max leaves, they'll be kind of at the forefront of the company. The second four was Daniel Garcia, Lee Moriarty, your boy Wheeler, and Hook. And I'm good with those four being that next wave of future main eventers. You talk about four incredibly young guys who have all shown just are absolute savants in the ring already. And each kind of bring something different to the table. Everyone looked at Daniel Garcia the moment he showed up. The guy didn't have to say a word, but, you know, Daniel Bryan saying, "This is my son," from a somehow, even though the ages don't match up. Punk's like, "I need to get in the ring with this guy." Hook became a meme, didn't say a word, only wrestled on Rampage. Now he's a sensation. Moriarty blows me away every time he's in the ring. He was one of the early matches on Supercard and wound up help stealing the show. He had a fantastic match with Danielson a few weeks back here in Nashville. And then Wheeler, I'll be honest, I didn't see it. I didn't see the hype. I hadn't had a chance to watch a lot of his indie matches. And he, between the Pure match he had at Supercard, which Pure match rules aren't my bag for a few different reasons, but he made it work. And then his match with Mox, and you took a guy that just, you took someone who you didn't really know his personality, and you realized, oh, this guy is good enough to kick out of every finisher Mox is going to throw at him, leave him as a bloody mess, and he's still not going to tap. Like, you just proved he is one of the hardest SOBs in the company. And all you had to do was give him one great match on Rampage. Like, the sky is the limit for all four of those dudes. So I don't know if that answers your question, Shaq, but I love that idea of the next four pillars.
Yeah. Braj?
So MJF doesn't count, right? Or does he? Because he wasn't on the national scene before. And
however you want to interpret the question is okay with me, Raj.
Sure. I mean, I'd have to say MJF because he's a main event talent now. And he kind of went from, you know, he was in MLW and on the indies before being signed with AEW. But once they brought him in, he's a top star. So right away, he's easily number one for me. But I thought Candace's list just hit the nail on the head. I agree with Jade, Wardlow, both of them. I can see headlining pay-per-views sooner than later. Wheeler Yuta, he's in a great storyline. This storyline's fantastic. And if you're in the right storyline, you'll see it can elevate you. It did with Hangman Page, with the storyline with Kenny Omega. But, you know, I know AEW is obviously more, you care more about in-ring than WWE, but still, to get to that main event slot, you still have to have charisma and good mic skills. You know, you look at everyone that's main evented an AEW pay-per-view, and they all have either really good charisma, great mic skills, or both. And so I think it's too early to say with Wheeler Yuta. Obviously, the storyline's great. It's elevated him greatly. Now, to get to that next step, I do think he needs to work on his character some, work on his promos, and take advantage of being elevated and get to that next level. And if he can do that, I agree. I see him, you know, in that mix.
Yeah, all great answers. I think you're right. If sort of going with Raj's sort of criteria, MJF, a shoo-in, Candace as well, Jade from day one, you could just see it. I do like the Wardlow call, because what sort of pulled me away from picking, let's say, Jade or MJF, as I felt, even from day one of their entry, that AEW had big plans for these guys. And you could sort of tell Wardlow is one who I wasn't sure how far he was going to develop in AEW. And this storyline has just been fantastic. And it's great to see sort of this development of his character. I think I can't say it's objectively Wheeler Yuta, but the fact that AEW was able to take someone who I could, no offense, care less about, I could not have cared less about Wheeler Yuta 3 weeks ago, and turn it into, in recent memory, one of my personal favorite AEW matches. I just think is incredible. Raj, this is a great opportunity for him, like you said. Ball's in his court. He's got William Regal, Bryan Danielson, and Jon Moxley in his corner. If those three guys can't, you know, help him develop the right personality, I don't know who can. So future looks bright, but it's interesting to see how we can take this and parlay it into something bigger. Okay, guys, very quickly, before we move on to the Q&As, guys, if you have any questions for the four of us, please leave a super chat now. We'll get to it in the last 10 minutes of the show. Very quickly, I just want to take a moment, now that we've had time to let it sit, and as I continue to lean into recency bias, and candidly, the first ever Hall of Fame ceremony I watched live, was there a better speech than The Undertaker's TED Talk at WrestleMania 38 week? To see a guy, and you know, I had the honor, absolute honor, of interviewing him about a couple weeks before that, to peel back one of the most protected characters in the history of professional wrestling, and to take this time to do something he really never gets the chance to do, which is impart some of that wisdom on more than a one-on-one level with his contemporaries was just so wonderful to see, and the emotion and the fact that it took him like 20 minutes to even get started, he was choking up so much, to see him be so vulnerable, I thought was just fascinating, awe-inspiring. I want to get your guys' quick thoughts. Where does this rank for you in terms of Hall of Fame speeches? We'll start with Connor.
It's funny how a lot of wrestlers are great promos but aren't particularly great at giving speeches. Which is, so when you pose this question, I'm like, can I think of memorable Hall of Fame speeches? You get certain lines. Everybody posted the Scott Hall bit from his speech when he passed earlier, but you can't look at it and say, oh, he had a great speech. Sure. One of them did. A lot of them just tend to blend together because they're given too much time. Taker did a great job. For one thing, the presentation was a little bit different. You call it a TED talk, but I did like that they gave him the wireless mic as opposed to making him, you know, hunch over the podium the whole time. I love the different outfits that were in the background. Vince did a fantastic job doing the intro. But most importantly, I'm really glad he had dropped the character by this point. Like, I talked to him right before the last ride was wrapping up. And by that point, he had well let the cat out of the bag. He was talking as Mark Calloway. And I'm glad he chose to do that here. If it had just been him in the character, I feel like it would have done him a disservice. With this, you gave him the chance to tell stories that otherwise we never would have heard of. He got to finally open about the BSK. We heard that story about his mom trying to hop the guardrail. I don't know if anyone would have been able to tell that otherwise. There were just so many little tangents and tidbits that it's like, this is the only way we could have possibly ever gotten this. And that's what makes this so special.
Raj?
Yeah, to Connor's point, I kind of figured they were going to let him do the speech as Mark Calloway, but I was a little worried that they might do a rehash of the Survivor Series where he's doing it in character and kind of the same thing he did at Survivor Series, but in front of a crowd. And I'm so glad they didn't go that way. I thought this was definitely the most memorable Hall of Fame speech. My personal bias, I always love Bobby Heenan's induction speech. It's just entertaining from top to bottom. But The Undertaker's is, it's iconic, like the character, you know, itself and the man himself. So I thought it was an amazing Hall of Fame induction. I liked the way they did it. I did like the TED Talk format because him just standing there in front of the podium would have, I just felt like it was more interesting the way they did it. And because it took so long for him to even get started speaking with how loud the crowd was, I thought it was awesome. And it was fitting of the man, a legendary character. And so I thought it was a home run, 100%.
Candace?
Right. So disclaimer, even though I didn't grow up watching a ton of wrestling, there were two wrestlers that scared the heck out of me as a kid, The Undertaker and Boogeyman. So it's true, it's facts. So seeing this speech, and you nailed it on the head, Shaq, it really felt like a TED Talk. It was so motivational. And I myself got choked up a bit because I wasn't expecting this type of speech from The Undertaker. You know, he's such a larger than life character and he's so venerated in the industry, of course. You know, he's a Hall of Famer now, and being able to just sit and watch this speech, which went on, you know, a little over 20 minutes or so, from the beginning to the end, I was just riveted. I just was taking it all in. And it, you know, the advice that he gave, I walked away from that speech just thinking that's going to go down in history as one of the best speeches of the WWE Hall of Fame. It has to, because it really struck a chord. And I could see, even if you aren't a wrestling fan, looking at that speech and really feeling inspired, because his story is still relatable. You know, we all go through struggles. We all go through trials and tribulations in life. And he expressed that. And then at the end, he gave his advice on how to fight through those trials and really, you know, make your own journey in life and create the life that you want. And that's powerful. So that's what I took away from the speech.
Yeah, when you said wrestlers would give you nightmares, you unearthed a deep-seated childhood memory of mine just now, where The Rock and Steve Austin were trying to save me from The Undertaker and, you know, Paul White, The Big Show, back in his underwear days, pre-singlet, wow. And they got promptly thrown through a window, and I woke up in terror, which... It's weird because you know that The Undertaker is portraying a character. You know that it's a guy named Mark Calloway, but to never hear a peep about who Mark Callaway is, and then over this last year, and especially at this Hall of Fame, it's just such a shock to the system. It's such a splash of cold water in the best way possible. And it's without a doubt one of the best speeches of all time. All right, guys, let's move on to the Q&A for the last 10 minutes. Very quick reminder, if you can, please subscribe, hit that notification bell, thumbs up. All those things go a long way. Fightful Wrestling just hit 70,000 subscribers on YouTube. Let's help them get to 100. First, Super Chat donation from Sir Brendo here, who says, it's interesting seeing Raj on Fightful. Loving it. Raj, what do you think about Sean Ross Sapp, candidly?
No. He was with us for a long time. He was kind of my right-hand man for a long time. So we've been talking. I'm hoping to have him on as well. Next month is our 25th anniversary of Wrestling Inc. So got some cool stuff planned. But yeah, I've kept in touch with Sean over the years. We've even broken a story last year together. So
any dirty secrets you can let out of the bag for us?
Gosh, not really. I wish. I had more.
I'll cancel.
I would have dug in the dirt more when he was there. Yeah.
When you're ready to help Connor and I put the nail in the Fightful coffin, just tolerate your boy, please.
Right.
All right. Daniel.
He used to get mad when I'd call him out on his typos, though.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I will keep a close eye on his tweets. Daniel R. Hello, all. Two-part questions. What makes a great wrestling faction is one, and then who would be in your perfect faction, current wrestlers, any company? Okay, fun one. I can see the brain swirling while you guys are thinking. I'll throw in my two cents on the what makes a great wrestling faction. I think, one, you need variety. Everyone in there needs to fill a particular role. You know, you have a classic format like the Pinnacle had, where you've got, you know, the leader, the star, the charismatic one. You've got the tag team workhorses. You've got a bodyguard in Wardlow, and then sort of a right-hand man in Shawn Spears. Everyone just needs to occupy some sort of role. I think that's super clear and clean cut. And the beauty is, in doing that, is you don't have to have everyone be so victorious all the time. But everyone needs to play a role. There are way too many, you know, when you think about the NWO, by the time it's sort of outworn its welcome, you had like every person was part of some sort of NWO affiliate. It needs to mean something, right? These memberships have to be exclusive. Everyone needs to play a role. And you can see in some of these factions, like I'd say, on the Andrade Family Office, like, what's the point? Why are the Blade and Butcher there? Why is Private Party there? I think the Pinnacles are a really good example of everyone playing a very specific role. I think the Elite is an example of, you know, best friends, all championship caliber guys. Everyone needs to bring something to the table. That, for me, I think is what makes a good faction. Anyone here want to raise their hand on who their perfect faction is? Connor?
Honestly, as far as perfect faction goes, I think the one that Danielson proposed, but we're only kind of seeing the first start of it, is getting there. I love the idea of Moxley and Danielson basically having guys like Garcia, Moriarty, and Wheeler, Yuta being their guys. I would love to throw Punk into that at some point. I'm curious how Eddie Kingston feels about this whole thing, because he loves Mox but doesn't care for Danielson. I feel like Darby would be an interesting addition to that in some way, if you can get him away from his goth dad. But as far as what like makes a great faction, one of the pitfalls that so many groups fall into, if it's a trio or if it's four people, is that it's one guy and three heaters. It's one guy that the group is actually for, and then the rest are just there to try and protect him from. You brought it up, Shaq, you need things like exclusivity. You can't have 50 members in it. That's what a lot of the reason that people fell off the rails with NWO. It's why Bullet Club's popularity ebbs and flows, because you get guys like House of Torture and you all look over and go, why are you here? And you need something where everybody in the group brings something different to the table. And by the time the faction ends, more people need to have been built up than when it began. When you look at Evolution, the reason it's a great faction is because it gave you two WrestleMania main eventers at the end of it that had previously not been. The reason Bullet Club has such longevity is that it took guys and elevated them to status never seen before. You think of guys like Jay White, AJ Styles coming in from TNA. Kenny Omega, the Bucks, the Good Brothers. You look at where they were when the faction started and look where they are now. And it's, and I think that's what separates those from the Retributions of the world, where no one benefited.
Roger, Candace, whoever wants to go.
You know, to Connor's point, when he brings up Evolution, I think Evolution is one of the greatest factions of all time for that very reason, is that it created two main eventers and it elevated people. And it created one of the biggest WrestleMania matches, you know, that didn't involve Hulk Hogan or The Rock with Triple H and Batista. So elevating, bringing up new talent, but having established guys in there, Shaq, to your point, when you're saying variety, you know, that's why the edgeheads don't work. When everyone's kind of looking the same and being the same, you need the difference in personalities. That's why the original NWO, I thought, was so effective, because they had great chemistry and they're all so different. As far as, you know, guys today, I thought Pinnacle was kind of on the right road with MJF. You got Wardlow in that Batista role being built up, and then you had FTR, who could just have great matches anytime, any day of the week. So I thought that was one of the better ones we've seen in a while. And yes, the Moxley and Yuta and Danielson definitely has a ton of potential, and I'm excited to see where that goes.
Candace?
Yeah. I mean, what makes a great faction, all of you made excellent points. It's about the chemistry and the synergy and each person bringing a specific flavor to the mix and not all being the same. You know, there has to be something unique about each of them for us to root not only for the faction as a whole, but individual wise. My dream faction, I personally, and this is absolutely dream, don't know if it'll ever happen, I want to see Julia from Stardom come into AEW and work with anyone. At this point, if it's Jade, if it's Nyla, I just want to see a faction around Julia. I love her. She's fantastic. Maybe Tony Khan will hear this and make that happen, but I'm team Julia. Like, I could totally see her with Jade, and actually I could see her with Jade, Nyla, and a fourth person. Who that is, I have no idea. It could be anyone, but I want something like that to happen. That's just, you know, I'm manifesting that, putting it in the universe.
I like it. House of Black's a cool one too. I hope they get a little bit more time to shine and develop. Okay. Interesting. Shout out to the throwback. I've been asking people this out of curiosity. Roman just passed over 850 days since his last loss. Do you see Roman passing Bruno? We don't talk about Bruno, no. San Martino. And that is how they wrote it. And that was an acapella. Should we compare the two? I mean, I just don't think we're in a day and age right now, the way in which wrestling works. You know, is 850 days super impressive? Yes. Are we going to see another 2,000 of them? I don't think so. What's the closest you guys think we can get to a Bruno Sammartino run in the modern day wrestling landscape?
I thought it was Okada with that 2-year run there for a minute, but now I think Roman's going to sit it at somewhere around 1,000.
Yeah, you adjust for inflation, and you know, it's probably as impressive as you're going to get, you know, since Hogan at least. So I mean, just with weekly TV, Hogan wasn't on TV every week. You know, they saved his appearances. He was on once every 6 weeks or whatever it was. So yeah, the way that Roman's been able to do that and still be interesting, and his segments, you know, be some of the highest rated on the show, if not the highest rated, it just shows that they're doing a great job with him. Where they're not doing a great job is finding other stars to build on that level. And you need to have him, you know, they're going to Nakamura right now, who they've just been beating left and right. And I'm all for Nakamura being in that spot. If you built him correctly, if he's on a great run, you need to get more guys up to that level, because right now it just feels like there's no one there.
Candace, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, he could surpass. He's, you know, on God mode right now, God tier. It's quite possible. And Roger's right. I completely agree. There needs to be more people built up to that level. Who that potentially could be at this moment. I mean, Bron Breakker comes to mind as someone that, you know, still very young, and he's just started within the WWE. He could be that next successor perhaps. But yeah, I mean, it's Roman's still, you know, sitting and settling in his career. He's not retiring anytime soon. He could certainly break some records. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely.
What a long reign that would be. I'm kind of over the Roman Reigns run, guys. It's been fantastic. No fault of his own. I just have a very short attention span. All right, last one from Daniel R here before we wrap things up, gentlemen. Man, AEW Dynamite put forth an awesome main event last week. FTR versus Young Bucks for the Triple A and Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. Daniel R wants to know, is FTR the best thing in wrestling? Anyone?
I'd say the best tag team in wrestling right now, okay. For sure. Because not only are they great in the ring, but they're great at getting the character down. And like they turn babyface without needing to change everything about them or make it feel forced. You know, they're a babyface tag team and they just made subtle differences. I mean, they just get it. I'd love to see Bret Hart align with them. I hope that happens. But if FTR is on, I'm watching. I think they're, as far as tag teams go, easily the best thing right now.
Connor? They are absolutely one of my favorite things about wrestling. You look at the run that they're on right now, they're the tag team of the year, and it's their race to lose between the impromptu match with Moxley and Punk, the match with the Briscoes, which I'd argue is the greatest straight up tag team match I've ever seen live. And then the main event they just had last week, which completely outperformed the first time they wrestled the Bucks. Yeah, it's their race to lose. They're one of my favorite things about wrestling right now because you completely believe that the passion they have, that they bring to the ring is legitimate. You listen to them talk about their love of wrestling, their love of old school tag teams, their love of Bret Hart, the mental stuff, the anxiety that they combat going into each match. They put so much of their heart into it and they wear that on their sleeve. And there are so many guys in the business that treat it like it's a business. And to their point, it is. It's a job for a lot of people. For them, you know that this is so much more than just a job. It's a passion. And that kind of energy is contagious. So when I see people give that off, all I want to do is watch what they do next.
I'm here all day for the retro aesthetics, the wardrobe and the entrance music. It's all everything old is new again, right? Candace, anything to add in closing?
I mean, when I think FTR, I definitely think blood, sweat, and
well,
on Twitter, on the ring, they just
sorry, just freezing up there for a second.
There we go.
Perfect time to put that one.
But yeah,
in closing, nothing.
Right? I feel like they're my surrogate uncles. I want to see them win. They really are one of my favorite things, my favorite teams in wrestling right now. I wholeheartedly agree. And they've put on absolute clinics within this past week and a half, you know, throughout WrestleMania weekend going or leading after it. And I just can't wait to see what next they can do. And they are passionate. I agree with Connor. They're absolutely passionate, not just for the business, but for the sport and the art of it. And you can't help but root for that. And I'm team FTR always. I just want to see more FTR. I can never say no to any more FTR.
Well, what better note to end on than a positive one? Gotta have one of those. What a nice way to start the week. What a nice sentiment, Candace. All right, guys, let's send this home very quickly. If you can, please, quick reminder, if you haven't already yet, what are you doing? Please hit subscribe, thumbs up, notification bell, all that good stuff. Leave a comment. Let us know, who do you think is the best thing in wrestling right now? Is it FTR? Is it MJF? Is it Roman Reigns? Is it Cody? Braun Breaker? The list goes on and on. Let us know. Shameless plugs. I love doing them. You can check me out. My written work at cbssports.com. YouTube channel Shaq Wrestling. Probably what's going to connect with you the most. I got an interview that came out 10, 12 days ago with The Undertaker. There's ones with Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair that came out ahead of WrestleMania week. So please check those out. Shaq MMA as well if you're into that kind of stuff. Trying to get a little more active there. But we got interviews with Riri Prochazka, Robert Whittaker, Tai Tuivasa, and beyond. Raj?
Yeah, check out Wrestling Inc., wrestlinginc.com. Our 25th anniversary is coming up in May. We got a bunch of cool stuff planned. We have a bunch of exclusive interviews that we conducted over WrestleMania week that are, you know, that we just recently released. AJ Styles, Braun Breaker, Los Lotharios, Liv Morgan. So just a ton of great stuff. So keep checking out wrestlinginc.com and follow us at Wrestling Inc.
Wrestling Inc., the one publication that AJ Styles reads, so that should be good for
you. Yeah.
Candace.
Yes, for PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you can hit us up on pwi-online.com to get your digital copy. Physical copies for the latest issue are forthcoming, so if you are a subscriber, just stay tuned. There was a bit of a delay, but please do not fear. They are on the way to your mailbox, so please do check us out. I have a show on the PWI YouTube channel, Face Turn with Candace Cordelia, where I interview some of your favorite stars. I've interviewed Chelsea Green, Matt Cardona, Effie, the list goes on and on. So please stay tuned for more of that. And as Shaq mentioned, I'm also on Broadway World. That's not wrestling related, but you can go to BroadwayWorld.com and check all of that out. And Bust It Open, I make monthly contributions on that lovely radio show. I'm usually there on a Friday with Dave LaGreca and Mark Henry. So stay tuned for the next appearance that I'll make. And follow me on social media.
Connor.
Find all my stuff over at comicbook.com. We don't just cover wrestling. We cover all things nerd culture, your comics, your movies, your TV, your video games, and your anime. All my wrestling stuff is over there. Got a bunch of interviews from WrestleMania Week on the docket. Got a new one with Johnny Gargano dropping tomorrow. It's always a good time to talk with him. Follow me on Twitter at ConnorKCCB. Same on Instagram. You can also catch me every now and then on the Comic Book Nation podcast. We are live every Friday, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all the good places. And then we're available on Paramount Plus as well.
I still need to get I'm supposed to get a free Paramount Plus subscription. CBS, where are you at with that? Guys, thank you so much for checking this out. Do this once a month. We'll be back next time with another all-star panel. Thank you so much for checking it out. We'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Peace.